If you would take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's where we're going to start. Today's October the 9th, 2022. I'm very blessed to teach God's Word. I love to teach God's Word. And I'm also very humbled that people come here to this house to hear God's word and fellowship with one another. It's humbling to me, but I do love to share God's word, and something that's kind of been on my mind I want to look at this morning. I think we're all familiar with the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so when you think of that, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I almost think heaven should be in all caps. God created the heavens and the earth. He not only created this earth and everything that's in it, but he also created our solar system. And not just our solar system, but our galaxy. And not just our galaxy. All of it. And they don't even know how big it is. And to think that God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has given us this book, the Bible, his book, his word. And when you think of it like that, then how valuable is this Bible that came from the creator of the heavens and the earth? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, a familiar verse, all scripture, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you maybe have studied this before or looked at it, the word perfect and furnished come from the same Greek word that means to be fully equipped or fully furnished. It would be like if you were going on a camping trip and you were fully equipped for any and all things that could come up. You ever been camping before and go, oh, I should have brought that. Darn. This word means to be fully outfitted, fully equipped. Nothing lacking. In verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Given by inspiration of God's one compound Greek word, theopneustos. It means God breathed. And when we speak, we breathe. So it's a beautiful figure of speech. All scripture, God breathed. All of it came from God. And then it says it's profitable. God's word is profitable. In pretty much every field or category that you can think of, there are recognized experts or authorities. And many, if not most of these experts or authorities have written down their expertise so that others could learn from them. In every field, science, mathematics, medicine, archaeology, farming, antiques, there are experts and authorities. But when it comes to spiritual matters, understanding God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, there's only one completely reliable authority, and that is God himself. And it's sad that many people, even those who are maybe deeply religious, fail to accept and believe this verse that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. All of the scripture is profitable to us. There are Bible-reading Christians who may accept one part of God's word, but dismiss another. But what it says in this verse, all scripture, God breathed. Look at 2 Peter, if you would, another familiar verse when speaking about God's wonderful word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse verse 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy, that which is foretold, that which is forthtold, that which has been written, it came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How many people really believe that this book, the Bible, God's Word, when rightly understood, is the Word of God when it's rightly understood? These are the words that God Almighty, the Creator, has given to us, what, to keep us busy and out of trouble? For profit, all scripture is profitable to the end that we're fully equipped, fully furnished. You know, Jesus Christ's opinion of the scriptures in Matthew 22, you can read where Jesus Christ said, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and then he quoted scripture. Jesus Christ's opinion of the scriptures was that it is God speaking to you. That was his opinion. So what's your opinion? What's my opinion? Holy men of God wrote what God told them to write. In Galatians, Paul said, the gospel that I preach unto you, I didn't get it from man. I wasn't taught it from man, but I received it by revelation. And now if you back up to Timothy again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, another familiar verse that we may have read before a few times regarding this topic of how great and how valuable and how profitable the scriptures are. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, there are Christians who really see no need to study the Bible. What do I need to study the Bible for? They don't see a need for that. There are Christians who read very little, if any, of God's word. You know, there's some Christians that go to church every Sunday and they want to hear the message. And I'm not saying that to be critical, because we just read, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that we might be fully furnished unto all good works. And here it says study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Do you think anyone has exhausted all the great truths that are in God's word? Words from God for our profit? And then when you think about it, how many different religious or spiritual topics are there that there are differing opinions or differing beliefs concerning so many different topics? Like, for example, salvation. There are differing opinions, differing viewpoints, differing beliefs on salvation. Baptism. Oh, there's a good one. The end times. A lot of opinions about that. God's gift of Holy Spirit. A lot of different opinions. What happens when you die? Different opinions. Might come back as a butterfly. Might go somewhere and burn forever, which I never understood. If you're burning, how do you not get burnt up? How can you burn forever and still be there? Go to some paradise place. You know, there's all these different opinions. Where do you get the answers? From God's word. Look at Hosea, back up to the Old Testament. Hosea, it's right after Daniel, if you know where Daniel is. Hosea, we're going to chapter 4 of the book of Hosea. How valuable is this book we call the Bible? How precious, how priceless. In Hosea chapter 4, the first part of verse 6 says, my people, so God's not talking about the heathens, the pagans, my people, the ones that he said he would be their God, he said he would take care of them, protect them, help them. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Would that be a lack of knowledge of chemistry, calculus, farming, the latest news? It's a lack of knowledge of God's word, God's people. God said his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and it has to be a lack of knowledge of his word. And why? It's because all scripture is God-breathed and all scripture is profitable so that we can be equipped. And a lack of that is not good, not very profitable. Jeremiah, back up to Jeremiah chapter 2. And there's, you know, a lot of criticism about the Bible, that it's an old book. It was written a long time ago. It was written by some of these people. There's some good history in it. It's a good moral book, actually. You know, you can learn a lot of good moral. There's all these. It is the words of God Almighty to human beings. It's God speaking to us. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 15, is that where we're going? 13, thank you. Again, my people, God's people, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a beautiful analogy God uses in here. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. Well, how do you forsake God? You forsake his words, what he has said. Do something else besides what he has said. And God, figuratively, likens himself to a fountain. A fountain is an unlimited supply. You know, they have these things that you can put in your yard or whatever, it's like a fountain. Of course, if your main water is ever turned off, it's really no longer a fountain. Because a fountain has an unlimited source. It's just unlimited. And God is saying, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain, unlimited supply. And then what did they do? It says that they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So a cistern is a container, and it is limited to how big it is. Kathy was living on a farm till she was 5 years old and told me they had a cistern there. Because first time I ever read that verse, it was like, a cistern, what's that? I'm a city boy, I don't know what a cistern is. Oh, really? So God's people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. And God said, those cisterns, even though you have made your own little system that's limited, it's broken. So it really doesn't even hold much. Why do people settle for broken cisterns? You know, people say, look, I have my own religion, okay? I got my own religion. And so, you know, that's your decision. But it's a broken cistern, is what it is. Some people say, you know, I worship God in my own way. Okay, I have my way of worshiping God. Me and God have this wonderful connection. Don't really need to read the Bible or any of this stuff. Well, that's your decision, but it's a broken cistern. Some people say, look, I don't need to get all religious and start studying the Bible and all that. Well, that's your decision, but it's a broken cistern. And you have people that, you know, want to follow the stars, and if Jupiter's lined up with this planet, then now I have direction for my life. Well, that's your decision, but it's actually a very broken cistern. How few people really realize the great value of the scriptures, the Bible. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Dave was sharing some of this on Thursday night, Bible Thursday. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Sitting through the Walking in God's Power Advanced class again, I am just absolutely amazed at how great the scriptures are and how God just communicates so much if we just take the time to look at it with a little bit of awe and reverence for God's words. I'm just absolutely thrilled with how wonderful it is, and why I was kind of inspired to share some of this. In verse 20 of Proverbs, it says, "My son or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings." That's kind of like saying the same thing twice, isn't it? Attend to my words, and then incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Look at this. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How valuable is God's word? Life unto those that find them, and health unto their flesh. There's plenty of verses about healing, but the one I think about is, he sent his word and healed them. And then verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Out of it, out of your own heart, are the issues of your own life. And God's word is life to us, and it's health to our flesh. Aren't those wonderful verses? You know, I know we've probably all read them before a number of times, but just to stop and just remind ourselves of what it is we have in our laps or on our device, if you're looking at the Bible on your device. I like to read the Bible from my phone because I can go to a different version in like about 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I guess I could have other versions sitting around, but it's very convenient. But boy, how valuable, how priceless this book really is. And in our culture, in our day, who believes this? Who believes this, that boy, it's profitable for me to read and understand God's word. It's a great thing for me to do, to make the time to study God's word and to put God's word into my heart. Keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go to Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. And in this psalm, you will find it's an acrostic psalm. So each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But we see in this psalm, as you read the verses, mention of God's word over and over with different words like testimony, precepts, statutes, words, sayings. And I would recommend that sometime this week just read Psalm 119 as kind of a refresher and a reminder of the great value of God's wonderful word. And we're not going to read it all this morning, but I've got a few verses selected that we will read. So, we're in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things out of thy law. There are wondrous things in God's word. There are deep things in God's word. There are answers in God's word. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight, and my counselors. Need a little counseling? Open the book. What better counselor could we have than God speaking to you? I mean, if you find what you need counseling about. It's not just open it somewhere, read one verse. That was my counsel. But what a great counselor God is. Verse 28. My soul melts for heaviness. Ever been there? Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. The strength that we can get from God's word when we're melting for heaviness. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me or made me alive. The great profit and value of God's wonderful word. Verse 52 says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. God's word is so very comforting when we're going through the stuff, whatever the stuff might be. Go to verse 72. The law of thy mouth, God's word, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thousands of gold and silver. Anybody got a calculator? What could that be? Who believes that? Who believes? Very good. Ed believes it. That's great. Right on, Ed. Where is it in Proverbs where God's word is better than rubies and fine gold? And who would believe that? And the reason it is because God's word is profitable unto us, fully equipping us. You know, the great truths in God's word regarding prosperity. It's all through the Bible. All through the Bible. And then yet you got Christians saying, well, you need to be poor because that's the humble way to go through life and not have anything. And that way you're a very spiritual person. Open the book. What does God say? It's a great verse there. So where are we? Verse 92 now. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Wow, isn't that a powerful verse? How profitable God's word is. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love God's word. It's my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, through your word, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me. Yeah, there's always going to be jackasses in the world, but you know what? God, make me smarter. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. The great profit of God's word, the great value of God's word. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. It reminds me of trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall what?
Direct thy paths.
God, you know, I don't know which way to go. Get your head in the book. You know, allow God to lead you, guide you. Couple more. Verse 130. But do try to make some time this week and just read the whole psalm. It'll just really bless you. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Verse 160, thy word is true. Hello. God's word is true. Every event that God says in his word happened. You think God makes up stories? Fables? Everything we read in God's word is true. Every event we read about actually happened to real people. All that God says is. All he says was. It's all true. From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. God's wonderful, wonderful word. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. You know what great spoil is, right? Great reward. You know, if you walked into your backyard and there's some weed somewhere, you pulled that out, there was something under it, and oh my gosh, somebody 100 years ago, it's a can of gold. You wouldn't be, yeah, I found a can of gold. You'd be telling everybody, right? Rejoicing as one that finds great spoil. How about when we open the book, the great prophet of God's word? I rejoiced at thy word as one that finds great spoil. Is that verse 160?
162.
Oh, 162, thanks. Okay, one more. 173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts, God's word. These great truths that we've read here, and many more, this is why we read God's word. This is why we make time to study God's word. This is why we endeavor to keep growing in God's word, because of some of the things we just read here. All scripture is profitable so that we can be fully equipped. Go back to 2 Timothy 2. We'll read that one again. And we'll read the one in chapter 3 as well as we get ready to close here. 2 Timothy 2. Just a reminder this morning of how great God's word is, how valuable it is, how profitable to our lives it is. Study, verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does it take time to study? Yeah. Does it take effort? Yeah. And by the way, those great biblical research keys that we learn in the foundational Walking in God's Power class, they are priceless, absolutely priceless, those keys on how the word interprets itself. You know, when he teaches about the topic of the others crucified with Jesus, the point or purpose of the teaching is not to debate that with tradition, but rather to show us clearly how that great research key works, scripture buildup. Scripture buildup. That's what he's showing there. I'll tell you what, that comes up a whole bunch in the advanced class, scripture buildup. But really, those keys, we ought to utilize those keys when we're doing our own personal reading and studying of God's word. I mean, it's like if you were an archaeologist and someone just came and brought you every great thing that an archaeologist would need, every tool, every book, everything, and said, here, this is for you. That'd be a great blessing, right? Yeah, if you used it. You say, well, I've got this little digger. Okay. It might be a broken cistern. Chapter 3 is where we're going to end, where we started. Chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture. All of it. And God said what he meant there. All of it. All scripture God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, that's right believing, for reproof, shows us where we're off, for correction, getting us back to right believing. All of that is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be furnished, truly furnished, or that the man or woman of God may be equipped, truly equipped unto good works. God's word is very valuable to us personally. It is profitable for our everyday lives, living in this crazy world. Rightly understood, we are reading the words of God. We are reading the words that God is speaking to us. That's just amazing. And it's from a right understanding and believing these words that we get fully equipped in our lives. In closing, I just wanted to say that, like a lot of people, I pray that there could be a great spiritual revival in our country. Wouldn't that be great? I pray that. I know a lot of other people pray that. But I truly believe if there's ever going to be the possibility of a true spiritual revival in our country, God's people need to be equipped, be strong in the Lord. And if there isn't, and our country continues to move further and further from God's word, God's people better be equipped, be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that you gave us. That, Father, these truly are the words of life for us. Thank you, Father, for those that have gone before us who have labored very diligently, who have committed their lives to be faithful, to work your word so that we have available to us some great helps to understand the scriptures. Thank you, Father, that this word of God is so accessible to us today and the days that we live. And Father, may we continue to feed upon that word, to learn it, to study it, to live it, to believe it. And may we have an opportunity, Father, to share it with others so that they too can learn about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the salvation that you made available. So thank you, Father, for your word, for your Son, and thank you for calling us to this wonderful family. And may we have a wonderful week ahead, trusting and believing you. And I pray, Father, that you would, especially this week, help Ed and Linda and bless them. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.